Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We're going deep on Apple's performance in 2024. And get this, we got two awesome sources for this deep dive. Their earnings call transcript and their 2024 financial statement. You know the 10K. So get ready, because we're talking record iPhone sales, the buzz around Apple Intelligence, some serious legal battles, and even a change in leadership. Okay, so let's start with that earnings call. Tim Cook was basically popping champagne, announcing a record September quarter. Revenue hit $94.9 billion. That's a 6% jump compared to last year.
Yeah, that's a pretty bold statement, especially with all the economic uncertainty going on. Makes you wonder, is Apple kind of immune to all that?
Right. And speaking of defying trends, iPhone sales were the rock star this time.
Yeah.
Not only did they set a new record for the September quarter, but they actually grew in every single geographic segment.
Yeah, and what's really interesting here is that 98% customer satisfaction rate for the iPhone 15 family in the U.S. That's crazy high. Seems like they really hit a home run with this new lineup. And that's driving demand even more.
Yeah, it wasn't just iPhones carrying the team, though. Apple's services also reached a new all-time high, bringing in $25 billion in revenue. That's a 12% increase year over year. Music, Apple Pay, iCloud, the whole ecosystem is on fire.
This growth in services shows a bigger trend. Apple's building a fortress with its installed base of active devices, which sets them up perfectly for even more service revenue. But how long can this last? Is there a ceiling to how much they can make from this ecosystem?
And of course, we can't forget about the elephant in the room, or should I say the intelligence in the room. The initial rollout of Apple Intelligence has gotten incredible reviews from both developers and regular users.
Yeah, that 18.1 software adoption rate is twice as fast as last year's 17.1. People are clearly hungry for this next level AI, and Apple seems to have hit a nerve.
They also talked about expanding their retail presence, especially those four new stores planned for India.
Yeah, and if you connect that to the bigger picture, it's obvious that Apple's laser focused on India as a growth market. Tapping into that massive and increasingly tech-savvy population is a really smart move.
All right, let's switch gears and look at that 10K report. One thing that really jumped out at me was how much they emphasized sustainability, especially with those new carbon-neutral Mac and Apple Watch options.
Yeah, that raises an important question. Is this real commitment or just clever marketing? It definitely aligns with the growing demand for eco-friendly products, and it could give Apple a real edge over the competition. But is it really about the planet, or is it about their bottom line?
Okay, let's dive into the nitty-gritty of the financials. Apple reported total revenue of $391 billion for fiscal year 2024, a 2% increase from last year.
It's interesting to see how that breaks down by region. The Americas and Europe showed really solid growth driven by those strong iPhone and services sales. But Greater China actually saw a decline, probably because of the economic troubles they've been having.
And the 10K doesn't sugarcoat the risks Apple's facing either. Supply chain vulnerabilities are a big one, especially with some components coming from just one or a very limited number of suppliers.
Yeah. Remember those semiconductor shortages that messed up so many industries a while back? This reliance on specific suppliers leaves Apple open to similar disruptions. Imagine the impact on production costs and ultimately customer satisfaction if something goes wrong.
And of course, we can't ignore those legal battles brewing. That DOJ lawsuit accusing them of using their high-performance smartphones to create a monopoly is a big deal.
Right, and this isn't just a one-off thing. There are other similar cases out there all claiming that Apple is breaking antitrust laws. There's growing concern about how much they dominate the market and whether they're stifling competition.
And then there's that ongoing fight with Epic Games over their App Store policies.
Yeah, the outcome of that case could have huge consequences for Apple's service revenue. Epic Games is basically saying that Apple's control over the App Store is unfair, and they're using it to squash competition and jack up prices.
So Apple's fighting battles on multiple fronts. It's like they're walking through a minefield of potential legal and regulatory problems.
It's definitely a tough landscape for a company as big and influential as Apple. They're under a microscope constantly, and any misstep could lead to big fines, damage to their reputation, or even forced changes to how they do business.
Yet despite all this, Apple doesn't seem fazed. They're still pouring billions of dollars into that share buyback program. It's a bold move considering all the uncertainty they're facing.
Oh yeah, it definitely shows confidence. They're basically betting on themselves, believing that their long-term prospects are strong enough to handle anything.
And it seems to be working, at least for now. Their stock is still doing well, and investors seem pretty confident. But what about the potential financial risks? The 10K does mention worries about currency fluctuations and credit risk.
Those are valid concerns, especially with how unpredictable the global economy is right now. Changes in exchange rates can have a big impact on Apple's earnings because a lot of their revenue comes from international sales. And even though Apple uses hedging strategies to try to minimize that risk, they're still exposed to potential losses. Similarly, credit risk is always a factor, especially when you're dealing with huge investments.
And on the tax side, things are getting more complicated too.
Yeah, the global tax landscape is constantly changing, and multinational companies like Apple are under more scrutiny than ever. They have to pay taxes in so many different places, and any change in tax laws or how they're interpreted could have a big impact on their profits. The 10K report even mentions a potential decrease of $5 to $13 billion in unrecognized tax benefits over the next year. That's a massive swing.
It's a lot to keep track of, that's for sure. But it sounds like Apple has a whole team of experts working around the clock to manage these risks and navigate these tricky financial waters.
Yeah, that's definitely the feeling I get. They're not ignoring the challenges, but they're not letting them stop them from making decisions either. They're taking calculated risks, investing heavily in innovation, and constantly adapting their strategies to stay ahead of the game.
It's a fascinating look at how to run a global tech giant. So many moving parts, so many potential problems, yet they keep thriving.
It really makes you wonder what their secret is. Is it brand loyalty, innovation, their ecosystem, or something else entirely?
Yeah, it is remarkable. And it says a lot about their ability to adapt and change. I mean, just a few years ago, hardware was everything, but now services are this huge growth engine. It shows they're not afraid to switch gears and find new ways to make money as the market changes.
I'm curious, though, how much of that service revenue is from subscriptions versus one-time purchases? Are they seeing similar growth rates for both? That's a great question. Well, Apple doesn't give us the exact breakdown in these documents. They do say that recurring revenue from services is growing faster than the transactional side. They've got over 1 billion paid subscriptions on their platform now, including both Apple's own services and third-party ones.
Wow, 1 billion? You got to think Apple Intelligence is only going to add to that number down the road.
Most likely, yeah. It's still early, but Apple Intelligence could completely change how we use our devices as they add more features and language options. I wouldn't be surprised if subscription-based AI services become a huge part of Apple's revenue.
There's been a lot of talk about the rollout of Apple Intelligence, though. Some analysts are wondering why Apple isn't launching it globally all at once, like they usually do with software updates.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of speculation about that. What's interesting is that Apple seems to be taking a more careful approach with Apple Intelligence. Their CEO, Tim Cook, said they're focusing on quality and fine-tuning features for each language. They want to make sure it's a smooth and intuitive experience for everyone around the world. And that takes time.
That makes sense. And speaking of global reach, I noticed Apple's R&D spending is around 7% to 8% of sales. With this whole new AI thing going on, do you think they need to invest more to keep up with the competition?
That's the big question. That percentage might seem low compared to some other tech giants, but you have to consider how much money they're making. Apple's total R&D spending is already massive. Plus, they mentioned in the earnings call that they're moving resources around internally to prioritize AI development. So the percentage might stay about the same, but the actual amount of money going to AI is definitely going up.
Okay, let's talk about some of the risks they highlight in the 10K. I was kind of surprised to see that Apple still relies on just one or a very small number of suppliers for some pretty important components. That seems kind of risky, especially with all the supply chain issues we've seen lately.
It's definitely a risk they're taking. They probably get good deals from these exclusive suppliers in exchange for buying a lot from them. But as you said, it does make them vulnerable to disruptions. If one of those suppliers has a problem or goes out of business, it could really hurt Apple's ability to make their products.
And they do mention that the global semiconductor industry is known for high demand and shortages. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. We've already seen how semiconductor shortages can cripple entire industries, even tech. And since Apple relies on those chips for everything, their iPhones, their Macs, basically everything they make, a shortage could seriously hurt their production and ultimately their profits.
So they're walking a fine line between efficiency and trying to avoid risk.
Absolutely. And it's something investors will be keeping a close eye on.
Now, on top of the supply chain worries, Apple's got some serious legal challenges. The Department of Justice is suing them, claiming they're using their performance smartphones to create a monopoly.
And this isn't just a one-time thing. There are other similar cases going on in different courts. They all say that Apple is violating antitrust laws. There's growing concern about how much power they have in the market and whether they're preventing competition.
And then there's that whole battle with Epic Games over the App Store rules.
Yeah, that case could have a major impact on how much money Apple makes from services. Epic Games is arguing that Apple's control over the App Store gives them an unfair advantage, and they're using that power to stifle competition and make prices higher.
So Apple's fighting battles on a lot of different fronts. It's like they're trying to navigate a minefield of legal and regulatory problems.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in for a company as big and powerful as Apple. They're always being watched, and any mistake could cost them a lot of money, hurt their reputation, or even force them to change how they do business.
But even with all that going on, Apple seems unfazed. They're still putting billions of dollars into that share buyback program. It's a pretty bold move considering all the uncertainty.
It definitely shows confidence. It's like they're betting on themselves. They believe that in the long run, they're strong enough to overcome any obstacle.
And for now, it seems to be working. Their stock is still doing well, and investors seem to have faith in them. But what about the financial risks? The 10K does mention concerns about currency fluctuations and credit risk.
Those are valid points, especially with how unpredictable the global economy is these days. Changes in exchange rates can have a big impact on Apple's earnings because they make a lot of their money from sales outside the U.S. And while Apple does try to protect themselves from some of that risk with hedging strategies, they're still exposed to potential losses. Credit risk is also something to consider, especially with big investments.
And on the tax side, things are getting more complicated too.
Yeah, the global tax landscape is always changing, and multinational companies like Apple are facing more scrutiny than ever. They have to pay taxes in a lot of different countries, and any changes to tax laws or how those laws are interpreted could seriously affect their bottom line. In fact, the 10K report even mentions a potential decrease of $5 to $13 billion in unrecognized tax benefits over the next year. That's a huge range.
It's definitely a lot to keep track of. But it sounds like Apple has a whole team of experts dedicated to managing these risks and figuring out these complicated financial issues.
Yeah, that's the sense I get. They're not ignoring the challenges, but they're not letting them stop them from making decisions either. They're taking calculated risks, investing heavily in innovation, and always adapting their strategies to stay ahead of the curve.
It's really interesting to see how they manage a global tech giant like that. So many things going on, so many potential problems. But they just keep succeeding.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder how they do it. Is it their brand, their innovation, their ecosystem, or is it something else entirely? It's probably a mix of all of that and maybe some things we haven't even thought of. But you know, one thing that stood out to me in the 10K was their focus on education. They're expanding their grant program to 100 new schools and communities, giving resources and support to teachers and students.
Oh, that's interesting. It's like they're investing in the next generation of Apple users. Building up that creativity and digital literacy early on could really pay off in the future.
Exactly. It's a smart move from both a business and a social responsibility standpoint. They're creating a pipeline of future innovators and loyal customers. It's a win-win.
Okay, before we wrap up, I want to go back to Apple Intelligence for a second. We've talked about the positive feedback and the impressive adoption rates, but there's still so much we don't know about its full potential.
True, Apple Intelligence is still in its early stages. We're just starting to scratch the surface of what it can do. It's pretty exciting to think about how it might evolve and become even more integrated into our lives.
Yeah, remember those hints about upcoming health features? Apparently people are using their AirPods Pro 2 as hearing aids with amazing results.
That's a game changer. It shows how Apple Intelligence can be used to solve real problems and make a real difference in people's lives. It's not just about convenience or entertainment anymore. It's about improving well-being.
And beyond healthcare, I wonder how Apple Intelligence might change other industries. education, transportation, entertainment. Yeah. The possibilities are endless.
Absolutely. Imagine personalized learning powered by AI or self-driving cars that work seamlessly with our Apple devices. We could be on the verge of a technological revolution.
It's both exciting and a little scary, right? We're talking about potentially changing entire industries and the way we live.
It is. But it's important to remember that technology is just a tool, and we ultimately have the power to decide how it's used. As Apple intelligence develops, we need to have those tough conversations about the ethical side of things and make sure it's used responsibly for the benefit of everyone.
That's a really important point. We can't just blindly accept new technology without thinking about the potential downsides.
Exactly. We need to be proactive in shaping the future we want. A future where technology helps us, not controls us.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Apple's 2024, I'm feeling a mix of awe and anticipation. They're a company that never stops moving, pushing the limits of what's possible, while dealing with some pretty complex challenges. And honestly, I can't wait to see what they do next.
I agree. It's been fascinating to explore their performance through these documents. It's clear that Apple's story is far from over, and the next chapter is going to be even more exciting.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back soon with another insightful look into the topics that matter most. Until then, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.